So here's the chain of events. Your kid gets the flu, then the kids in his class get sick, and then it spreads throughout the whole school, and then the school closes.
We want every parent to have, at a minimum, a backup child care plan to know if their child gets sick, who's going to be home and take care of that child.
Hello to you. I'm the babysitter.
She seems very nice, right? And she has lots of experience.
Of course she does. She's 200 years old. Big day every day. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to work. Staying home is really cool. Hey, hey. Staying home is really cool. Hey, hey.
Who's going to pay for all the sick days and the child care? I'll give you one guess on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Friday, October 2nd. I'm Celeste Headlee here, not on a sick day, with John Hockenberry.
Good morning. Celeste, call it a boom time, swine flu boom time for babysitters possibly coming up. But besides that, this hour, we're going to talk about President Obama stumping for Chicago to get the Olympics. We'll also hear some of your strong opinions on texting while driving. We really struck a chord this week. Plus, our movie review team helps make sure you don't throw your money away on a bad film this weekend. Also, trivia.
First, let's talk to Kathleen Murphy. Kathleen is a health services coordinator for the Milwaukee Public Schools. So, Kathleen, how bad is it in Milwaukee?
Well, right now, Celeste, it's very much on the quiet side, and we're grateful for that. School's been in session for a little bit over a month, and we haven't seen anywhere the kind of numbers that we did last spring.
And you had a couple deaths over the summer, correct?
We did, last spring and into the summer. And of course, we closed 16 schools within a period of 2 weeks last spring. So
okay.
We're hoping this quiet trend holds until the vaccine's available.
Okay, Kathleen Murphy, stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Right now, everything else you need to know this morning.
16 schools is still a lot of babysitters. In the headlines, President Obama is on the way home from his 2016 Olympic pitch in Copenhagen this hour. He urged voters to choose Chicago over Rio, Madrid, and Tokyo. The Olympic voters will vote today, and we will get a decision today. The healthcare overhaul bill in the Senate is done. Senate Finance Chair Max Baucus declared it complete around 2 a.m. Eastern Time. The committee will vote next week. Then it goes to the full Senate.
The CDC says H1N1 swine flu is now widespread with significant flu activity in practically every state. They made the announcement as federal officials released Tamiflu for children from the national stockpile. States are now placing orders for the new H1N1 vaccine. President Obama says Iran has agreed to let Russia take some of its enriched uranium. But Iranian officials deny that a deal was made during talks yesterday. Iran did agree to let the UN inspect a newly revealed second uranium enrichment plant. We're also going to get a look at the job market this morning. The unemployment rate is out in a couple hours. The current number is 9.7%. Wall Street sunk just a little more yesterday, 2%, so the Dow's going to open at 9509. The S&P starts trading at 1030, and the NASDAQ begins at 2057 this morning. So they're not doing a lot of hiring. The retailers are not going to be hiring a lot of extra help.
That's the prediction.
They're saying,
yes,
they're saying they're probably not going to get a lot of extra help. I know that a lot of people depend on those jobs over the holidays to fund their Christmas purchases. So my question to you, our listener, is are you going to be going all out this Christmas? Are you going to have a big Christmas season? Are you going to be bracing for more economic hard times? And you're going to cut back? Let us know how the holidays are going to look like for you at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
When Reginald was home with flu, the doctor knew just what to do. He cured the infection with one small injection while Reginald uttered some interjections.
So you just heard about the CDC report saying there's already significant flu activity in every single state. John, what when your kids are sick, does your wife stay home with them?
Well, we've got various options, including a backup, as Kathleen Sebelius was suggesting there at the top. I also, we're concerned about the injection. Tamiflu is being stockpiled, and we're in line to get Tamiflu in case kids start showing symptoms. We've got four kids, so we've got a lot of vectors in our house.
Well, for me, I'm the backup plan. I'm plan A, plan B, and I'm a single parent. If my kid's home, I stay home with him for the most part. The government has been telling schools, please only close as a last resort, but there's already been 187 school closures since the school year started last month, and a report released Wednesday by the Brookings Institution says, get this, school closings could cost the nation $10 to $47 billion $1,000. Can we afford to get sick? That's really the question this morning. We're speaking to Kathleen Murphy. She's a health services coordinator for Milwaukee Public Schools. So, Kathleen, you were saying that you had a number of school closings earlier, last school year, right? But not yet this year.
Yes, we did. Last school year, last spring, when the epidemic was in full force, we closed approximately 16 schools within 2 weeks. And you're right, it was incredibly disruptive to folks. And, of course, going forward, that is not the new strategy that's been proposed by the CDC. If severity of disease gets much worse than it is now, there may be other options on the table. But currently, that's not the preferred option for managing disease transmission.
Well, in the Milwaukee Public Schools, you've got a lot of families that come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. So what kind of hardship does this put on families if a school closes?
Well, we really do. Approximately 75 to 80% of our children eat 2 meals a day at school. So right there, when schools close, there's an impact on their nutritional status and a family's ability to meet that child's need in that regard. We have children who are getting daily occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. Of course, those services are not happening when schools close. And then on top of it, a parent's ability to care for their child if they're in a workplace that doesn't have a flexible sick leave or child care policy.
That's the question there. We're also joined by Ross Hammond from the Brookings Institute, co-author of this report, Economic Cost and Healthcare Workforce Effects of School Closures in the U.S., and also Dr. Fahim Yunus. He's an epidemiologist and a specialist in infection prevention. He joins us from Baltimore. So, Ross, you heard Kathleen mention the cost for parents, but you know, this really is an important thing. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people, 59 million American workers who don't get paid sick days.
That's right, Kathleen. And as Kathleen mentioned earlier, a lot of those workers do not get paid sick leave and may actually also rely on subsidized school meals and lots of other facilities that the school provides. So I think there are important reasons not to close schools. That doesn't mean that children who are sick shouldn't stay home, but it means that the school itself shouldn't close entirely.
So what are these costs? You talked about $10 to $47 billion overall across the nation. What kind of costs are in there?
Sure, that's a very big number, and that would be for closures across the entire United States. The numbers are generated in the following way. Of course, when schools close, then parents have to find a way to look after their kids. And in some households, there will be adults who can care for children without missing work, but in others, adults will have to miss work. And those missed work hours means less goods and services are produced in the economy, and that's a cost to the economy, to the gross domestic product. So what our study does is it gives careful projections of how much worker absenteeism school closures might produce, how many households will have to have a parent who misses work, and therefore how extensive those economic costs might be. So we do have this very large number for all U.S. schools for a four-week closure that's, as you say, $10 to $47 billion. But we also break down the cost per student so we can look at more discrete regional closures. So the cost per student turns out to be about $142 per student per week. So to give you an example, closing all New York City schools for 4 weeks could cost the economy about $1 billion.
You also said the value of the lost class time, Ross Hammond from the Brookings Institute, would be $6.1 billion.
Per week, yes, it could be. It could be across the entire U.S., and that's a fairly conservative estimate.
So we're also joined by Dr. Fahim Yunus, an epidemiologist. Doctor, you wrote in the Baltimore Sun that the CDC shouldn't be telling people to stay home. Why is that?
I think the real point here is that as we go deeper into this pandemic, the reality is going to kick in that life for an average American in the left lane, people just like what Mr. Hammond and Ms. Murphy are saying, schools will have to remain open. People will have to go to work. Say, for example, more than 70% of the Americans, when polled, they said they will go to work if they were sick. Now, we have 59 million people without a paid sick day. Say 10% of them get the flu, and another 70% of that 10% end up going to work. That's more than 5 million people, potentially contagious folks out there. So all I'm saying is, as we get deeper into this pandemic, we will see people coughing and sneezing out there. and what is our plan to mitigate that?
Well, Dr. Yunus, you're an epidemiologist, and the question really is, what tools do we have if people are going to go to work? Does Tamiflu, which is supposed to combat the viral load in the body, it's an antiviral drug, which is recommended if you start to show symptoms, does that prevent contagion? Is that any way going to mitigate some of the things you're talking about if people do continue to work or go to school?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Tamiflu can be used as a prophylaxis. But once again, let's be practical. A five-day course of Tamiflu may cost more than $90.
Mm.
And for 46 million Americans without insurance, and how many times will you take that course? You'll have people sick around you every month, every week. The reality is we need to come up with a more practical solution. And therefore, vaccine as well. We know from certain studies that less than 50% or around 50% folks are likely to roll up their sleeves for this H1N1 vaccine, which we in the medical community feel that it's going to be an important tool in our arsenal to fight this battle. And just like we've been promoting hand washing, there are other barrier precautions, just using a face mask, which right now we just simply don't have that culture. I always talk to my colleagues and I ask them, when was the last time you were in an elevator with someone who was coughing and sneezing, or at coworkers in our cubicles, and we've seen that. But we normally don't see a scenario of people walking with a face mask if they're sick. And that's something, when you go to 2003 and look at how Hong Kong worked, though they learned a lot of lessons, but 76% of the people in Hong Kong were wearing a face mask in the midst of that outbreak.
So Kathleen Murphy, the health services coordinator for Milwaukee Public Schools, you heard us talking earlier about the value of the lost class time being in the billions across the nation. And I'm wondering, if a school closes, there are lots of schools that are now making sort of homeschooling options. Are the Milwaukee Public Schools trying to come up with options where the kids can do their homework and their classwork from home?
Absolutely. Milwaukee Public Schools has something we call SOFA School. That's available on the internet. And of course, we, like many urban school districts, have a digital divide with many of our children who may not have computers or internet access at home. And of course, if school's closed, we certainly don't want them congregating in other learning spaces like libraries and that sort of thing. But we do have a number of resources that are available online, and in addition to public television and that sort of thing. But the guidelines from the CDC and the Department of Education also recommend good old-fashioned homework packets, and that's one of the strategies that we're looking at. And in addition to that homework packet, we're looking at shelf-stable foodstuffs that we could package with the homework so that we can help mitigate some of that issue with children missing meals.
So, Ross Hammond of the Brookings Institution, you know, in conducting this report, do we know what it's cost so far, what the school closings we had at the end of last year and so far this school year have cost?
No, we haven't made a detailed estimate of that, but we do have these per student per week estimates that could allow some insight into that. There's a third point I just wanted to get into that is a very important result of our study, which is that some of these parents who have to stay home to care for kids will be healthcare workers. And we actually estimate this could amount to almost 20% of the healthcare workforce. And it's really not clear how the health system would continue to function very well with this many workers absent. So large-scale school closures have another cost, which is they could actually undermine other mitigation efforts, like the delivery of the vaccine or the treatment of the sick.
There was also an interesting Harvard study that more than many Americans said they'd probably lose their job if they stayed home for 7 to 10 days, and nearly 50% of them were minorities. Thanks to all of you. Ross Hammond is with the Brookings Institution. He's co-author of the report, The Economic Cost and Healthcare Workforce Effects of School Closures in the U.S. We also heard from Kathleen Murphy, RN and Health Services Coordinator for Milwaukee Public Schools, and Dr. Fahim Yunus, epidemiologist and a specialist in infection prevention.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.